Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, we've got, this was a recent report about the holidays contributing to feelings of being sad or dissatisfied. 68% financially strained, 66% have experienced some loneliness, 63% too much pressure, and 57% unrealistic expectations. 55% found themselves remembering happier times in the past, contrasting with the present, while 50% were unable to be with loved ones. And this isn't even a COVID-19 study. This is a couple years old, okay? This is an article from Cedars-Sinai, of course, the great medical center. The holidays can be a stressful time for many people. The shopping, gathering, and family time can add extra pressure, I would add, or lack thereof, given a COVID-19 environment, to our already busy lives. For those dealing with mental health conditions like depression or anxiety, the holidays can make it even harder. 1 in 5 adults will suffer from mental illness each year, according to the National Alliance of Mental Illness. And of course, those numbers are worse this year. Hashtag soon to be a t-shirt, hopefully by yours truly. Cause COVID. Why can't you do it? Cause COVID. Why? Cause COVID. So that's a big deal. Okay, this is from medicalnewstoday.com. For most people, Christmas will be very different this year. No kidding. Christmas is traditionally a time to share food and frolics with our nearest and dearest. For most of us, this is unlikely to be the case. With travel restrictions and quarantines in place, we will need to adjust. Although the pandemic has affected everyone in different ways, there seems to be little doubt that the average mental health of the population in the United States has declined. Could you imagine living in London right now or Southeast Great Britain, where they essentially Boris Johnson there with the new COVID-19 kind of locked down everything like hardcore less than a week before Christmas? Could you imagine being there? But what about our kids? Check this out. These are some letters that the post office received, letters to Santa. Just recently, a Texas girl named Kimberly, quote, "This year has been tough on all of us due to COVID-19. My stepdad's the only one working, and because of COVID-19, he has to stop working full time. Now he's working less because of COVID, and all the money he gets is for paying the rent and the bills." 9-year-old Alani asked for some Legos, obviously. "Dear Santa, this year has been rough because of Corona. My mom said she can't get anything for me for Christmas because she's not getting paid as much, so she cannot afford anything." Savannah, a girl from Massachusetts. "P.S. I'm sorry if I've been bad. It's really hard because of COVID-19 and online school. I'm trying to be good. Hope you understand." Nia, a girl from Florida. "Is there COVID where you are? If not, I just want to tell you that you're lucky," she wrote. "Dad says that even though he lost his job, we will still find a way to celebrate." And so you have all kinds of downsides because of COVID-19, add on top of that the challenge that a lot of people, maybe it's not you. So today, as we're talking to our good friend, Dr. Tate Cockrell from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, usually Tate's on Theology Thursdays. We couldn't get the schedule done last week, couldn't get it to jive, so we punted till today. But you've got two different people we're kind of addressing today, two different groups of people. If you have some holiday blues, maybe it's worse now because of COVID, or you're just dealing with anxiety and depression and just the holidays are difficult for some people because of COVID, perhaps your Christmas table won't have as many people at it. Maybe you've had a death in your family because of COVID. So there's the people, those of you that are actually struggling with the holiday blues. And for the rest of us that aren't, I'm pretty sure somebody in your life is, and we need to know what to look for and how we can help them. So let's talk to our good friend, Dr. Tate Cockrell, Associate Professor of Counseling, the Director of DMEN Studies out at Southeastern Baptist, and has been a Christian counselor for years, over 25,000 hours of counseling experience. Tate, my brother, how are you? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Steve. Always great to be with you, man. Thanks for having me on this afternoon.
You're very welcome, and such a great blessing you've been to the show, so we thank you for that over the years. But this is a big deal, and I thought we'd start... having an impact on you personally because COVID, and Christmas for your family this year is a little different, and you're struggling a little bit with us. So I appreciate you sharing that because I think a lot of people will be able to relate.
Yeah, you know, Steve, my wife Wendy and I, we've been married for 27 years, and you know, every year we make the trip back to Mississippi, which is where we're from, and you know, we enjoy the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas with our family. This will be the first time in the 27 years that we've been married that we've decided to stay here, you know, in our home in Wake Forest where we live now because of COVID. You know, we won't be able to get together with our family the way that we normally have. And I wouldn't say that I'm depressed, but I mean, I definitely over the last few days especially have just kind of been thinking, man, this is different. And I'm maybe just a funk. Maybe I've just been in a little bit of a funk that hasn't I haven't really enjoyed as much as what I would normally enjoy this this Christmas season because everything's different than the way it normally is.
And you've been counseling obviously for years, and have you seen this in your own practice that people tend to just struggle, and some people because they're already struggling throughout the year and the holiday season just makes it worse, but other people I would imagine maybe it's hitting them out of left field.
Yeah, that really is true, Steve. I mean, every year I've got the kind of some similar clients that I see every year that the holidays are always difficult for them. To your point earlier, whenever you said, you know, there's going to be an empty chair around the table at the holidays, they're grieving the fact that someone isn't going to be there. And so that's pretty normative for me to counsel individuals like that during this time of year. What I'm seeing more of this year are individuals who maybe in their marriages they're struggling a little more than what they normally are. They're feeling down more, you know, not necessarily depressed, but, you know, they just describe it as, you know, different, a funk. They're off. In fact, just earlier today, I was in a session and a guy just said, you know, there's two or three traditions that we normally do as a family around Christmas, and we really haven't done those traditions this year because nobody's really felt up to doing them.
Yeah, and so it's this particular year, as bizarre as it's been with lockdowns and whether you're here in North Carolina or somewhere else. Yeah, that's why I was looking forward to talking about this because I figured it's got to be worse than normal, but the holiday blues is a pretty normal thing overall. So if people are experiencing that, it's not like unique just to an individual, is it?
No, it's definitely not unique to an individual. I mean, it's pretty normal for individuals who've had change in living circumstances or they've lost a loved one. Maybe they've, you know, even something like they've got individuals in their family that are in the military that they can't be with them around the holidays. Traditionally, we think about the holidays as a time of celebration, a time that we get to be around family. We get to reunite, reconnect with people that maybe the holidays are the only time that we see those individuals during the course of a year. You know, some family members, maybe they only see their family members once or twice a year, and this is one of them. And now all of a sudden, they're not going to be able to do that, and that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Tate, I'm putting you on hold, talking to Dr. Tate Cockrell today on the Steve Noble Show about the holidays. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Merry Christmas to you and yours, but maybe it's not feeling all that merry to you after all. Maybe it's COVID. Maybe it's just some anxiety and some depression that you're having a hard time and you're trying to kick it, but it's kicking you. And then Thanksgiving gets here and Christmas gets here and you see all this kind of cheer around and people have Christmas tree places are selling out early. Christmas decorations are selling out early, all because of COVID this year, and even to a certain extent, the presidential election and politics in general, and it's just been a very challenging year for a lot of people, and the holiday blues are real, and a lot of people struggle with that. Even more so would be my statistical analysis based on what I've read. In the midst of everything going on with COVID and thinking it was going to be over by Christmas 2020, what a joke now at this point, right? So if it's you that's dealing with it, or perhaps we all need to look out for our friends and family, people, coworkers, neighbors, whatever the case may be. So we talked about, we do this once a year around Christmas time. We talked to our good friend, Dr. Tate Cockrell from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. He's the associate professor of counseling and a Christian counselor himself with years and years and over 25,000 hours of counseling experience. And so it's a great resource for all of us. Again, Tate, thanks for taking the time. So let's deal with the people first that are actually struggling with the holiday blues themselves. What does that kind of look like? How can we, I guess, self-diagnose if we're struggling with this?
Yeah, so I think it's individual, Steve, that they know that they've had life experiences that there's a greater likelihood that they're going to struggle around this time of year. So they've lost a loved one, you know, a child, a parent, I always talk about the firsts for those kind of people. So the first Christmas, the first Thanksgiving, the first birthday, the first anniversary, those kind of things. So that's a very easily to identify population right there. I think secondly, you have individuals that, as you've already alluded to in the show, that due to COVID, they're having to face just a very real reality that's different than what they were anticipating. And so there's just some unmet expectations. They never would have dreamed in a million years that they were going to be in this place that they're in. And now, you know, here we are just, less than a week away from Christmas, and it's not looking at all the way they thought that it was going to look. So that's a pretty easily to identify population as well. You've got the stress around Christmas because there's increases in, expenses related to gifts and, you know, if people are going to travel and those kinds of things, then there's a likelihood that maybe they can't do the things that they want, either for, you know, for their kids or for their family members or friends or whoever. That's another easy to identify population as well. And then I think lastly, you've got this group of individuals that maybe they're people who care for all of these populations that we've been talking about with folks who are struggling with the holiday blues, and just their exposure to having to care for individuals that are struggling right now is really robbing them of some of their joy as well, because of just the constant exposure that they have to being around individuals who are suffering around this season.
Yeah, a great point. And I would add to that, similar to what you shared earlier, and I talked to a really good friend earlier today who was having a longtime family event disrupted by a few folks who are really, you know, whether they're overly concerned about it or not, it's another subject, but we're concerned about having some of the older folks around in a gathering around Christmas time. And so great disappointment there. And also the strife of kind of whether it's COVID or politics, whatever, a house divided. I think we have houses divided a lot more this year than we did last year. And people not doing, I mean, that's touched my family a little bit in terms of what you do and don't do this Christmas that perhaps you've been doing for 10, 15, 20, 25 years, like you shared, Tate. And all those things makes for a significant population of folks that are struggling in one way or another. And then for people that are struggling with anxiety and depression generally, I would imagine that the holidays can kind of exacerbate that problem as well. Is that correct?
Yeah. So if they've got pre-existing anxiety, depression, you know, any kind of mental health issue, and they're going into this season with any of the many challenges that you and I have been talking about already, then there's a greater likelihood that they're going to suffer, you know, during this period because they're already predisposed to that. You know, they're already predisposed to have a sensitivity to have anxiety or depression or to have grief or guilt or any of those kinds of things that get wrapped up in this, you know, in this holiday. And, you know, if you have a scenario where, like with us, I mean, you know, when we get together as a family, you know, Wendy's side of the family, they all kind of live in one area, and we've been blessed that, you know, a lot of them are still living. And so we get together for Christmas lunch. There's 40, 45 people, wow, you know, that are going to show up for that. Well, of course, they're not going to do that this year, you know. So there's really no reason for us to go home if we're not going to be able to see anybody, you know, just to make that trip. Well, that's a huge disappointment when this is the one of the couple of trips that we make, you know, back to our hometown, you know, in Mississippi. That's a big deal.
That is a big deal. So is this something, if you're struggling with the holiday blues, that you should try to figure out a way to snap out of it, get out of it, or more or less kind of work your way through it? What should be kind of the immediate attitude for the person that's struggling?
Yeah, I definitely think working your way through it is the better option. You know, when typically I use this example all the time, Steve, you probably heard me use this illustration. When people try to snap out of it, what they usually try to do is they try to just tell themselves not to think that way or not to feel that way. And the illustration I always use is, if you tell yourself not to think about a pink elephant, that's all you can think about is a pink elephant, right?
So if they
tell themselves, you know, I don't want to feel this way, I don't want to be depressed. Well, every time they even just think the word depressed or holiday blues or anxiety, every time they even just think about that word, they're going to feel that way, right? So snapping out of it very rarely works, right? Just telling yourself not to feel that way, as a general rule, it's just not a good strategy, right? So working your way through it, however, and just being able to say, you know, okay, so what is it that's causing the way I'm feeling? What am I thinking? What am I believing? giving yourself even permission to feel that way for a certain amount of time,
then
also setting some goals to say, you know, hey, you know what, like, it's okay that I'm a little down, you know, today. You and I have talked about this before. We always do the show around this same period of time. My brother, who's no longer living, who died whenever he was 19, December 6th is his birthday. December 13th is the anniversary of his death. Mm-hmm. You know, I give myself permission on those days to be a little more down than what I normally am. But then I tell myself, okay, so you gave yourself an opportunity to grieve. It's okay to do that. But the next day, like, I need to move on. Like, I need to be thinking about something else. And so rather than just telling myself, don't feel grief or move on, I just redirect my thoughts to something that's more fun, more enjoyable, more celebratory, give me an opportunity to invest in somebody else's life. I definitely think that's a better way to work through it as opposed to just the snap out of it, don't feel that way anymore kind of approach.
And what do you say to people that are like, well, that sounds like you're just trying to escape it. You need to really lean into it and spend time on it. And I guess that's a serious question in terms of how much should we invest in this, if it's a short season, you know, the holiday season, how much should we invest in managing our expectations as well?
Yeah, that's a great question, Steve. And here's what I would say. I think a lot of it depends on kind of where you are in the grieving process, right? So just yesterday, I learned that a former boss of mine, his mom went to be with the Lord yesterday. So, you know, is he going to spend more time investing in that grieving process even right now during the holidays? Of course he is. My brother died 32 years ago this year. Am I going to spend as much time investing in that grieving process? Absolutely not. So time and distance and circumstances are all going to play a role in that. And I would say, you know, like I've got some friends that this is going to be the first Christmas that they ever have where their child isn't going to be with them.
Yeah.
They're going to spend a little more time investing in the grieving process this year than somebody else.
Exactly right. We're talking to Dr. Tate Cockrell about the holiday blues, some practical steps when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Talking about the holiday blues today, I was just querying my friends on Facebook Live. If you want to join us here in the totally awesome studio, you can join us by video right there. We're doing the regular radio show, right? Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time on about 30 stations, most of which are in North Carolina, which is my home state where we're trying to really focus these days. But if you want to be part of the video and see what's going on right here, literally in the studio, we've got upgraded all of our studio stuff when we moved last summer, which was another interesting COVID curveball this year. It didn't really have anything to do with COVID, but it is 2020, so nothing surprises me at this point. But knowing that because of COVID and some things that we were doing content-wise throughout the year, God's really vastly expanded our reach on Facebook, and so we wanted to step into that. So we have a whole new studio and built much more for video. So that's pretty cool. Plus, on Facebook Live, if you want to join us, it's just go to the Steve Noble Show page on Facebook. And while you're listening to commercials, which are super important, helps keep the radio going, then on Facebook Live, we kind of have a sidebar conversation. It's like, hey, Judge, approach the bench. Okay, the commercials play. And then you'd approach the bench being here with me in the studio, and then we kind of have a sidebar conversation. So I asked my friends on there, how many of you know somebody or are somebody that's really been struggling this year, unique to 2020? That it's and every single person that's responded so far has said yes, including myself, and some really challenging things that people are sharing there on Facebook Live. With marriage and finances and family members and family members getting dementia, all kinds of businesses failing, businesses shrinking vastly. I mean, this is serious business. And whether it's you or somebody you know, how we deal with the holiday blues is something that we need to be aware of. We need to be sensitive to it, whether it's for yourself, which we're talking to Dr. Tate Cockrell today, our good friend from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, who besides teaching out there has also been a Christian counselor with over 25,000 hours of experience, or looking out for people around you. This is a very important subject. We need to turn up the gain on our radar screen and look out for it. If it's not yourself, then probably odds are, based on everybody here on Facebook Live, every single person is like, yep. Lots of challenges out there. Again, Tate, help us understand. Thanks for your time again today. So some practical things to speak to our friends out there that are struggling themselves with the holiday blues What's just kind of a short list of practical things they can do to, again, not blink and make it go away, but to work through it this holiday season?
I think, first of all, Steve, you know, not just staying up in your head. I mean, you know, what a lot of people do whenever they get the holiday blues is they begin to isolate themselves. They stay at home. They stay in the bed. They don't go see friends. They don't talk on the phone. They don't FaceTime. And the more they do that, the worse it gets. I mean, anytime you're fighting the battle inside your head and you're doing that alone, you're going to lose. And so one of the first things they need to do is they need to get outside of their own head. They need to talk to somebody. And that doesn't have to be somebody like me. It doesn't have to be a counselor. It doesn't have to be a trained professional. I mean, it could be just a good friend. It could be a pastor. It could be a small group leader at their church. It could be a neighbor. It could be a family member. But they need to talk to somebody. They need to, you know, it's amazing to me, Steve, how many times I have conversations with people in my office in counseling, and they start talking to me, and as they say it out loud, they say to me, "Man, that sounds crazy, doesn't it?" And I didn't even say anything. Like, they figured it out on their own just because they were able to say it out loud. And so I think, number one, just to help them get outside of their own head. You know, exercise is good. Just being able to get outside, walk around, smell the fresh air, see the sunshine. I mean, that's, you know, the body has a tremendous ability to be able to recover just whenever we get it moving a little bit, and it doesn't just stay stagnant. So that's helpful. I think being able to join in with their faith family in some way, even if they can't attend in person. You know, a year ago, I mean, who would have thought, you know, Steve, a year ago, one of the things I would have said is, man, go to church, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, some of our churches don't have that ability, you know, right now. Some of them aren't actually welcoming people actually in person, so right. At least online. But if you can do it live, to be able to see someone, touch someone, hang out with someone, that's just incredibly helpful to be able to do that. And then lastly, and this sounds almost counterproductive, but, you know, we talk about this every year, Steve, that one of the best ways that people who are kind of struggling with this can help themselves is to help somebody else, you know, is to use their experience by reaching out to somebody else and saying, hey, man, like, I know this is a difficult time of year for you. It's a difficult time for me as well, but I want to try to give back. I want to try to love on somebody. You know, I want to serve. I want to counsel. I want to minister to somebody. It's one of the best ways that they can feel better is just by simply giving to somebody else of their time, their talent, their treasure, in some way being able to reach out and touch someone who's hurting.
Yeah, that's a great point. Well, you mentioned activity, which obviously that would include exercise, but what about sleeping and then just diet? I know it sounds maybe trivial, but I think it's probably pretty important.
You know, one of the things that's interesting about sleep in particular, Steve, is that depressed people especially, many of them sleep a lot, but they don't rest. And there's a difference between those two. And so it really is important that people get good rest. And that is, they allow their brain to shut down before they actually go to sleep, that they don't sleep too much to the point that they don't actually rest, because then the sleep becomes restless and the REM cycles get, you know, get all messed up. Yeah. But they do need sleep, and all into watching too much television, and they stay up and their sleep cycle gets all messed up because they're up at all crazy kinds of hours, you know, of the day. And then once again, that starts happening. And now, just like I said earlier, how your body can work with you, it can also work against you. And now your body's working against you because it's trying to claim the rest that it so desperately needs. And diet is a big part of this during the season. I mean, if you're on these wild sugar cycles with all this crazy food that you tend to eat during the holidays, I mean, you can have these incredible highs because you're eating, you know, these foods that you love and they taste wonderful, but then you have these hard crashes on the other side of that once the sugar runs out. And so then you just kind of get on that roller coaster of, you feel great for 30 minutes, but then you feel awful for 3 hours, you know, and that's a horrible place to be in.
That's exactly right. And what about anything in particular, just people struggling with this holiday season as a result of just kind of the crazy COVID situation, whether it's how it affects your family gatherings or just in general, how should we kind of process that, trying to enjoy the birth of our Savior in the midst of all this crazy COVID stuff?
Man, such a good question, Steve. And you mentioned the word that I think is the key to all of this earlier, and it's expectations. Mm. This is a good reset. I had this conversation with a guy just a couple of days ago You know, he's going through a really tough time, and it's going to be a different Christmas for him because of his living situation. And but here's what I said to him. I said, hey, man, maybe for the first time in the history of your life, maybe for the first time you're going to get to celebrate Christmas morning unencumbered by many of the things that often take the place of the reason why we should be celebrating Christmas.
Interesting.
And so I think part of it is if we can just change our expectations for what is Christmas all about. And yes, it's great to have fun with our family. It's great to celebrate with our family. It's great to get gifts. It's great to enjoy great food. I don't want to knock any of that because all of those are wonderful. But Steve, you and I both know that they pale in comparison the incarnation of Christ. And that's the reason why we celebrate Christmas. And so I think this COVID may actually give us, kind of like it did with churches in ministry who were resetting whenever they were shutting down, all of a sudden churches started finding creative ways of how to do discipleship and worship. And a lot of churches really moved the ball forward in terms of connecting with their congregations in ways in which they never have. I think Christmas this year for a lot of people really may be a reset for them where they say, man, for the first time in a long time, we were really focused on the things that were most important and not so focused on the secondary issues.
Yeah, bigger isn't always better. And certainly all of us, I mean, whether you're going for walks with your spouse this year or your family, I mean, it's been an interesting kind of return to a older lifestyle as we haven't been able to go out as much and go out to eat as much and go to dinner as much and go to movies as much, which is heartbreaking to me. But then all of a sudden you find yourself at home, which has brought its challenges. We talked about that earlier in the year, but especially this holiday season, maybe smaller is much better in terms of the development of our faith. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about kind of some practical things, but help us set up the conversation, Tate. For those of us that are doing okay this holiday season, should we be... Again, back to that word expectations. Should we expect that there's people around us that are struggling, and what should we look for?
You absolutely should expect that there are people around you that are struggling. I would be shocked if there's any one of your listeners that doesn't have someone in their life, in their church, in their immediate family, in their extended family, someone in their neighborhood. I would be shocked if they aren't close to someone who is struggling, whether they know it or not. So if they all of a sudden start realizing that, hey, you know, normally Miss Susie down the street, I normally see her walking, and I haven't seen her, you know, she hasn't passed by our house walking like she does every afternoon at 5. I haven't seen that in 4 or 5 days. Or, you know, I haven't seen so-and-so on the Zoom, you know, like Life Group or the, you know, however they're connecting in church. I haven't seen them in a while, or I haven't seen them at church, or... Man, I, you know, normally whenever I go to the coffee pot and I get my coffee at work, normally Jim, you know, he talks to me. He says something to me. You start seeing something that's out of the ordinary. What I always say is always assume that there's something going on and ask.
Ask. Great point. We're talking to Dr. Tate Cockrell. We'll pick it up there when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Good to be with you today. Our annual show where, unfortunately, we talk about something that a lot of people struggle with. Or if it's not you, if you're not struggling with the holiday blues, we pretty much guarantee you know somebody that is. And so what do you look for? How do you look out for that? And then how do you engage that? How do you lovingly, you know, insert yourself in that situation, if you have a friend that's struggling with the holiday blues? And that's why we're talking to our good friend, Dr. Tate Cockrell, today from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. And usually we would talk to Tate on a Theology Thursday, but today we were just doing it, which I think is better timing, the Monday of Christmas and the New Year's coming up. And you can just assume if anybody's struggling with kind of the holiday blues now, it didn't just start today. So talking about, Tate, kind of people that we look out for. So you were talking about routine things, if there's a difference, and we normally see them walking, we normally see them in some situation and we don't see them. But what are some other kind of telltale signs that perhaps somebody that we know or a friend of ours is struggling with the holiday blues?
Well, I think a lot of times, Steve, what ends up happening is particularly people that we're a little closer to, what they'll usually do is they'll drop a hint or two somewhere along the way that maybe they want to talk about it or that they're struggling. And oftentimes what we do is we just rush right past that. And it is an invitation for us to step in and to say, you know, hey, are you doing okay? You know, kind of what's happening? You know, that usually what people are not going to do, Steve, is they're not just going to come out and say, hey, I'm feeling depressed. Or I'm feeling anxious.
Right. Right.
What they're usually going to say is something like, man, this has been a tough year. 2020 has been a tough year. Man, I just can't get in the Christmas spirit the way I normally can. Or they're going to kind of drop something out there to see if you'll bite on that. And what I tell people all the time is you know, even if they're not dropping that hint, nobody's going to get angry at you if you care enough about them to say, hey, are you doing okay? Like, is there anything we need to talk about? Like, you know, you feeling okay? Or you feeling down? Or, you know, hey, I know this may be a tough time for you. Nobody's going to get angry at that. But if they do drop that hint and you don't say something to them, then there's a likelihood that they may think, man, I wish someone cared enough about me to ask about what's going on in my, you know, in my life. So if they drop those hints, then men certainly be aware of that. So they, you know, or here's another thing. You hear someone who says to you, hey, I'm worried about a friend, or I'm worried about a family member, but I don't know what to do, or I don't know what to say. Reach out to them and have that conversation.
Yeah.
When eating habits change, when people talk about how they can't sleep, you know, they're not sleeping well, or they have a hard time getting out of bed in the morning because they don't feel rested. A lot of those symptoms that we talked about with individuals who are suffering, if we have opportunity to find out those kinds of things from other people, those are our open doors of opportunity then to step into other people's lives.
Yeah, so important. And I have a friend on Facebook Live that said when they were depressed previously, they didn't tell anybody. And so, you know, unless you ask, yes, you have to look out for these things. You're talking about little statements, subtle statements that they make. But what about kind of emotional tells, if we're going to use like card player language? Should we be paying attention if somebody's maybe a little more emotional in one direction or another than usual?
Yeah, and what I would say is it may not necessarily be in one direction. Steve, it may be in both directions.
Huh.
You know, we talk about maybe emotional volatility or emotional variability where, you know, they seem to just become overly emotional either direction really, really easy. Like it seems like their emotions just kind of get the best of them. Like, you know, one minute they're teary-eyed and the next minute they're laughing. I have a big emotional tell that I use with my clients because it's a common defense mechanism, especially with people in the West, and that is oftentimes when people are really struggling with something, they'll try to laugh it off because they don't want other people to know that they're struggling.
Sure,
and so
sure.
They'll say something that's difficult, but then they'll kind of say it with a chuckle. And I usually just don't let that go. You know what I mean? Like I usually say, now you just said that, you know, with a little bit of a chuckle there, but, you know, like that's a big issue that you just talked about. And, you know, are you doing okay with that? So that can oftentimes be an emotional tell when you see the body language or tone of voice or something like that that's inconsistent with the emotion that they're actually showing. That can be a really big emotional tell as well.
Yeah. So when we notice something out of the ordinary like this, whether it's a little thing they say, a routine is off, emotional volatility, then what can we do that would actually be helpful?
Yeah, so I think one is we can pray for them. And I don't mean say we're going to pray for them. I mean like legitimately pray for them. Pray for them right then. Ask them if we can pray for them. My mom had a lady in her life that after my brother died for a long time, she would just regularly call my mom in the morning and just say, can I pray for you? You know, I know that this is a difficult season of life for you. Can I just pray for you? And would pray live with her on the phone. And so oftentimes as Christians, sometimes we kind of use prayer like a Band-Aid, but we just kind of use it. We usually just kind of say, I'll pray for you. What I've started doing is, like, if I'm on the phone, even if I'm on the phone with somebody and they'll say, you know, I'd appreciate your prayers, what I usually say is, can I pray for you right now?
Yeah.
You know, like there's no reason why we can't pray over the telephone. You don't have to be sitting in my office or in my home to be able to do that. So I think number one, we can pray for them. I think number two, we can listen to them. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes when we interact with people who may be struggling with the holiday blues, we want to give them all the answers. Here's all the Bible verses that you need to do or that you need to read. Here's all the things that you need to do. Here's what you need to believe. Here's how you need to think. Like we want to coach them through that. Oftentimes what they need is they just need a listening ear. That oftentimes around the holidays, people they want to talk about that loved one that's been lost. They want to talk about that person that nobody else wants to talk about. They desperately want to relive a memory. And so I have found that if I would just be willing to listen to those people, that is a really, really practical step. Like ask a question and then be patient enough to wait on the answer and then encourage them to talk more about that.
And at some level, on the extreme side, should we be willing to, I'll just use the word escalate, maybe get somebody else involved, call a pastor, talk to another Christian, get some more counsel. Should we be willing to go there?
Yeah, no question. I think number one, especially if you don't know this person super well, if you can even get other people that are involved that may know them better than you, then certainly do that. If they're a member of a faith community, to get a pastor, or a small group leader or somebody like that, to get involved. If you're really concerned that during the season, like it's really tough on them, and certainly if you have any thoughts of self-harm or suicide or anything like that, even getting a professional counselor or the authorities, involved would be a necessary next step as well. So, again, caring well for people means that we're willing to make sometimes the hard decisions that are for their best interest, even if they don't know what's in their best interest.
Yeah, what a great point, and what a great phrase to kind of finish on. Caring well for people, which when the Lord says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, you're included in that caring well for people. It's not just you caring for others. But you need to be especially careful, especially this time of year, to care well for yourself. Dr. Tate Cockrell at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, always a blessing. Thank you so much for helping us with this, and Merry Christmas to you and your family, buddy.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you and your family as well. Thanks for having me on, Steve.
You're welcome. We'll talk again. Thanks so much. That was Dr. Tate Cockrell. Again, he's on staff out at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary and just does a great job. We talk to him every year about marriage. We talk about raising teenagers, parenting, that kind of stuff, but also about anxiety and depression. We talk about medication. That can be a pretty hot topic especially for us Christians. And so Tate's just been a wonderful blessing, not only to the show, but to my family specifically. I wanted to mention this because this is happening tonight. So if you aren't aware of it, you're going to miss it. They call it the Christmas Star. Okay, this is from the Daily Wire, but you can get this information all over the place. How to see double planet. First time in 800 years, Jupiter and Saturn, the two largest planets in our solar system, will soon line up and look like a double planet, a sight not seen since the Middle Ages. The rare celestial event will occur after sunset today, the start of the winter solstice, but also will be visibly close through Christmas night. Quote, alignments between these two planets are really rather rare, occurring once every 20 years or so. But this conjunction is exceptionally rare because of how close the planets will appear to one another. That's a Rice astronomer Patrick Hartigan said in a statement. You'd have to go all the way back to just before dawn on March 4th, 1226, to see a closer alignment between these objects in the night sky. While people close to the equator will have the best view, the double planet will be visible from nearly everywhere. The pair, though, will be low on the horizon in the continental United States. Odds are that's for you and for me, low on the horizon, to see them find a dark place about an hour after sunset and look toward the southwestern sky. Southwestern sky. If you have a smartphone, you can actually get a compass app on there, okay, if you need some help with that. Of course, you'll need a cloudless night to see the planets. Although Saturn and Jupiter will be closest on Monday night tonight, they'll appear very close together until December 26th, which will be this Saturday. The alignment has been coming for a long time. Jupiter orbits the sun every 12 years, while Saturn's orbit takes 30 years. Isn't that wild? And every couple of decades, Jupiter laps Saturn, according to NASA. So again, that's tonight, about an hour after sunset. Sunset's about 5 p.m. Eastern, where we're at. So right around 6 p.m., low in the southwestern sky, pretty low on the horizon. So if you're surrounded by trees, you probably need to change that by going somewhere where there aren't a bunch of trees, which is pretty difficult here in North Carolina. But that's going on. And, was that the Christmas star? Did that happen? Does that explain the celestial event that we learn about in the Gospels? And the star that the Magi saw and all of that kind of stuff. So I'm like, well, that's interesting, but ultimately it's not critical. It's not mission critical. It's not gospel critical. So don't get bogged down in things that you shouldn't get bogged down in. Keep your focus on the Savior. The stars are awesome, but they don't hold a candle to the actual arrival of our Lord and Savior, who, by the way, was not born for Christmas. He was born for Easter. Something to remember, whether your homeowner association gets that or not. Nod, nod, wink, wink to a homeowner association here in the Raleigh area. Oh, my goodness. Keep your sense of humor, friends. And keep your eye on the Lord. Stay close to him. Abide in him and him in you, and you'll bear much fruit. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.